your Bibles with you. In a few moments, we're going to go into Peter. And Peter in chapter 1. And I've titled my talk today, A Living Hope. And my hope is that you've all had good weeks. And my hope is that we can get through this talk together this morning. But another week has just flown by, hasn't it? I don't understand how have you sort of blink and you're into the next Sunday. How does this happen? I think Shane and I were talking, I think it was last week, and just sort of saying, it's important to just stop and relax sometimes, isn't it? Well, for relaxation, I like to play a bit of golf. I'm not very good at golf. I really enjoy it. Now, a lot of people can say, well, it actually ruins a really nice walk playing golf. And majority of the time I play golf, it ruins my walk. I would absolutely agree with that. However, just recently, my son, Joel, has started playing golf, which is lovely. And he's got into this in a big way. I mean, I'm a little bit worried about how much golf he's actually playing, but that's another subject. About 3 weeks ago, Joel thought to himself, look, I'm really getting into this. I think I'm going to buy myself a set of new golf clubs. Very exciting. But before he did that, I'd said to him, we should maybe go to the driving range, Joel. Practice a little bit before you invest in these clubs. Now, I've actually been playing probably in the region of 26 years. Joel's been playing for about 6 months and he's hitting it further than me. It's really disappointing. Now the thing is, with golf, obviously you need a nice golf club and a golf ball, and some people wear a glove, some people don't. And when you're playing golf, you confidently, for whatever reason, you confidently walk up to a tee thinking, I'm going to hit this ball to the hole in less than 5 shots. But the problem is, when you get actually down and everybody's watching you, in the back of your head, the ball's talking to you going, you're never going to see me again. And that's absolutely true. Now, anyway, we decided to go to the driving range. And we went over to Ripley in Derbyshire. Lovely place. If you want to go to the driving range over there, I recommend it. Now, the problem is, or I shouldn't say the problem is, we'll get to the problem in a moment. Technology has been introduced to the driving range. So it can monitor your swing speed. It monitors when you hit the ball. There's a line that goes up on a computer screen behind you tracking the ball. So you've got trajectory, distance, and this is why we know that Joel hits the ball further than me, majority of the time, which is obviously very disappointing. Now, there is fine print to being a dad of 43 and doing anything with your son at 18. The fine print is, don't embarrass your son at any time. Unfortunately, on this particular day, I didn't read that fine print, or I certainly forgot totally about it. And we got there, and because of the technology, it's super busy. Every sort of cubicle that you stand in, shed that you stand in with the grass mat, is full. So Joel and I had to share. So Joel sets it up on the screen. I get the club. I'm not going to illustrate this today. It's been really bad. But I get the club in hand, ready to take the shot. Concentration. I swing as hard as I can. And literally the club flips out of my hand and goes 80 yards into the driving range. It was one of the most embarrassing moments for me as a dad, and for Joel, and pretty much everybody around, because they're going, what is this guy doing? I didn't take my glove with me that day. It was super awkward, super awkward. Now, I didn't take my glove, and that was the point, because what you're probably thinking is, where is this guy going with this? And what I'm getting to is this. It's critical to have the right equipment at the right time of impact. It's critical to have the right equipment at the right time of impact. Now, if you've got your Bibles, if you'd like to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though you now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances in which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing, when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you, when they spoke of these things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, get this, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed in his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on the Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from this empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now that you've been purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. But you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. May God bless the reading of his word. Shall we just pray? Father, we want to thank you for this moment that we can share together as we look into your word. Father, what a blessing it is to be able to share as your church and as your people, to bring praises to you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for that sacrifice that was made in our place. And Lord, this morning we thank you that we worship a risen Saviour and a risen Lord. And Father, we just pray that you might bless us as we look into your word together now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When you think about it, we know Peter pretty well, don't we? I think each one of us in here knows Peter pretty well. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Amazing faith of Peter to even get out of the boat in the first place. Incredible faith. Jesus, having had Peter take his eyes off of him, reached out to Peter and led him back to the boat. You see how we know Peter quite well, don't we? And as they got back in the boat, it was only then that the storms died down. Because what did Jesus do? Well, he led him through the storm. And then, stunningly, what happened? He worshipped him. He was soaking wet. He got in the boat and he worshipped Jesus. There was no drying Peter off. He just worshipped his Lord. Here's another moment. Peter followed at a distance. And when someone there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them, and a servant girl seated there in the firelight, she looked at him closely and said, this man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you're also one of them. Man, I am not Jesus. I am not, Peter replied, sorry. About an hour later, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And get this. The Lord turned and looked straight at him. It's fair to say we know Peter pretty well from Scripture. How much can we learn from that man and that man's experiences? These early moments in Peter's life shaped his future. He went from denying Jesus to completely denying himself. And what changed that? Well, the resurrection changed that. The resurrection changed everything for Peter. And for the rest of his life, he would serve Jesus wholeheartedly to the point where it would cost him his life. Now, such was the importance of Peter, he actually got to write two books of the New Testament. And I don't know if you know this, but Peter's name actually appears more than Paul's name, over 170 times in the New Testament. And Peter was called, and I love this, the Apostle of Hope. That's lovely for us at Hope Church Gainsborough, isn't it? Peter was the Apostle of Hope. But Peter was also very aware of the world that he lived in and the world that we live in. And his words are as relevant now as they were then, because of course it's God's word. Peter fully understands who Jesus is. In verse 3, look, he's proclaiming the risen Jesus. And that we, as his church, we have a living hope. And those in Christ, we've got an inheritance that can never perish. Peter then goes on to use a beautiful analogy about gold refinement. And I love this, that in order to get pure gold, it has to be heated in a crucible. I remember sort of doing this, not with gold. So I've been a bit richer than I am now. But I used to do this at school. I remember having a crucible and heating it up. And you liquefy the gold in order for the impurities to drive themselves to the surface. And then they're scraped away. And so much so that when it would scrape away, you'd be able to see your face in the gold. And Peter's saying that can be likened to us. Christians suffer in many different ways. I'm sure you can attest to that. Sin has to be purified out of our lives. And the eventual result can be that Jesus is reflected in us as we seek to be witnesses in this generation, to our church, to our family, to our friends. We're to reflect Christ. What a challenge that is for us today, right? What a challenge that is for us. Do we reflect Christ? It is critical to have the right equipment at the right time of impact. When the situation is at its hottest, do we have the right equipment at that moment? You see, the equipment isn't the golf ball, and it isn't the glove. In isolation, let's say. It's a golf ball, a golf club, and a glove. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. The right equipment in the right moment. All of these need to be present to reflect Jesus. And we need that now as a church more than ever. Because we're in a dark world. We need to reflect Christ. Peter goes on to say, as Christians, we are to be holy. Look at verse 13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Kevin Ward can't add anything to those words. I can't emphasize that any more than that is emphasized there from our Lord and our God through the scripture. Be holy because I am holy. Live the life we're called to live, not because we have to, but because the love of Christ compels us to. as obedient children. Not following the desires we had when we lived in ignorance. Live as Christ has called us to live. And that's something we can struggle with, isn't it? You see, God is saying, you're a new creation. You're a new creation in Christ, and Jesus is our example. Look at verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Matt re-emphasizes this many weeks. God gave his very best for us. He gave his very best. Verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Today, let's love one another deeply from the heart. Peter's words, although written and penned by Peter, they came from God directly for us. Peter's experiences shaped his future. But it allowed him to have the right equipment at the right time of impact. Now, today, I don't know what your walk with Jesus looks like. Those who are on the path, let's love one another with a sincere heart. Now, I don't know if you know him as your personal saviour. I pray today that you might find it. You're just one prayer of repentance away. Let's live as we should live, as Christ compels us to, and the love of Christ compels us to. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these short moments we can spend together. Precious time to be able to look into your word. Lord, may we be challenged by it. May we know your presence with us. And may we be equipped to serve you wholeheartedly with the fruit of the Spirit present, Lord. Lord, guide us, strengthen us. Help us to be witnesses in this generation. Lord, we pray that many would step from death to life. As your gospel has gone out today, Father, may people understand we worship a risen Saviour and a risen Lord. Bless us as we just continue in worship and fellowship together. Now we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.